Welcome to Elite Wrestling Radio, episode 18. I am the producer, Kid Remington, again taking over for Hotshot Danny Duggan, who is lost somewhere in the envelope of airports in the Eastern Seaboard right now. And gracious enough to join us again when Danny's away is the Canadian Crusher, AJ Sanchez. AJ, thanks for coming and doing the show with me.
Thanks, man. You know, I'm an indie wrestler, so naturally I don't have a job, so I'm available to do these things when need be.
And my professional job is producer, so obviously this is the only thing I've got going on in my life as well. So here we are for the next hour, and we are going to get, it's almost going to be like a fireside chat with old Mayor Tommy Shanks, and we're going to talk about CWE's Last Action Hero Tour with Chris Hero. And I mean, it's all finished up. How are you? Are you rested up mentally, physically? Will you ever be rested up from these kind of tours?
You know what? For me, it was 7 matches in 6 days, and as you get a little older, it definitely takes a little longer to rest up and not be feeling as poorly as you did, following a few matches.
Yes. So you guys were pretty much all over southern Manitoba. You guys up into Neepawa. You guys went to Beausejour, Selkirk, pretty much everywhere. Danny talks about it every week where you guys are going to be appearing and stuff. How is that to go and do a 6-day tour, different place every night?
Being that I'm not just on the wrestler side, it can be quite a headache, of course.
Yes.
The boys are always hoping that every town is going to do very well. Mm-hmm. But when you have seen kind of the other side of the spectrum, you really, really hope that everything's going to go really well. And it doesn't always go very well. Some towns do, though. And this tour, as far as I understand, probably the most successful one since we started touring again in 2013-14.
Yes, that's what it looks to be. And, you know, the crowds were in Winnipeg, I saw just an absolutely packed crowd. The matches, night to night, were quite competitive. It seems like there was almost like an edict in the locker room that everyone was just going to go and try and answer the bell every night with their best.
You know, that's exactly what it was. When we were touring in 2010, because a lot of guys locally, it doesn't always fit into their schedule to be gone, you know, a whole week on the road. We had to find other guys from out of town, other guys from whether it was the U.S., it was Canada, whatever it was. And those shows back then, because it was all extremely talented guys.
Yep.
Man, those shows couldn't be touched by a lot of companies, you know, all over North America.
That's right.
And it was a lot of it was the same this past week, where we had guys from, was it 6 states, several different provinces. Guys were coming in from the seminar, you know, to do the Chris Hero seminar to work on the show that night. It was the talent was, I can't even tell you, there was not one bad match that whole tour, I don't think.
No, I would have to agree from what I've seen of the card so far and watching the events live, you know, I would agree with that. And, you know, you've had a chance to wrestle a lot of these guys. You meet them for the first time in the locker room. Is there any, like, a disconnect where you meet the guy and then you're going to go out there and wrestle? And it's kind of like, are you like, man, what am I getting myself into? Why did I get booked with this guy? And then you get in the ring and you guys make some magic, whether you lose or you don't, but you guys both try as hard as you can, and you give it to each other, and the crowd loves it. How does that work?
I've been in locker rooms where there was a disconnect. Where, I mean, guys, you know, guys have their cliques, and these guys sit with these guys, and so forth. But I didn't. I recall the first night, and we were in Morden, and I came into the locker room, and again, this is the first time that most of these guys have met, as far as a couple guys from the States, and I come in and I see Big Jess, who I believe was shirtless. I see Kevy Chevy, who's dressed to the nines, wearing a full suit with his arms wrapped around Jess. And then behind them is Ricky Starks, who came all the way up from Texas, I believe, has his arms around Kevy Chevy. And they're attempting to do some kind of triple German suplex. So first night of the tour, these guys who really, I mean, Jess and Chevy are familiar with each other. I believe they've gone out on the town several nights in a row. But Ricky Starks is jumping right in there and you know, just throwing German suplexes on dudes in the back. I mean, I don't think there was any disconnect as far as this crew this past week went. And, I mean, everybody got along famously. So it was not on this tour, that's for sure.
Yes. And you know what? Ricky Starks brings up a good point. Because there was Selkirk. And you know what? It's tough to wrestle when there's a quieter crowd. Like, sometimes you get crowds and they're just hanging from the ceilings and excited at everything. And the crowd in Selkirk, you know, love them and everything, but they weren't the loudest. Let's just say that.
For sure.
Ricky Starks comes out, and he absolutely goes heel on everyone in that crowd before he got into the ring. And it's just like, you know, the ref giving him a look like, you know, are you planning on making it out of this town alive tonight? Or right. What's going on? And it was just, it was really good to see him get into it and absolutely, you know, pretend like, not pretend, but actually apply himself like a professional. Like it was, you know, just as busy a place or a WWE event or whatever, right? And that was great to see a lot of the wrestlers do that kind of stuff.
Like I said, man, top-notch crew, and Ricky Starks, I got to work with him in Neepawa.
Yes.
And I can't say enough good about the guy. Very intelligent, very smart worker, and knows what he needs to do. And if I recall, he's only been in the business maybe 4 or 5 years, if I recall hearing that correctly. So
really?
For a guy that's been, you know, been in the business that long, it sounds like he's getting booked all over the place, and deservedly so.
Yes, we saw some returns. Guys like Sigmund, who was an interview on this show. We saw the Gift, Jason Kincaid, come back. Any feedback on them on their second tour? Any difference from the first one, or was it just business as usual? They took up from where they left off last time, and they just fit right back into CWE?
I'd say fit right back in. If anything, Jason Kincaid, the Gift as he is, you look at the guy and you kind of expect that he's going to be a little, I don't want to say the word loner, but let's say the word loner.
Yes, yes.
You know, he was always really nice to me, just kind of a quiet dude. Well, we definitely opened that up this past week. It was his birthday, and we were in Gladstone, the after party after the Neepawa shows in Gladstone. The Gladstone Motor Inn, if anybody's ever in the area, go check that out. And I believe it was Danny's idea to line up 14 shots. Everybody bought him a shot, and just have him do it in a row. And we made sure to end it off with milk. Milk was the last thing that he had to drink. Goodness. There probably was like 6 Prairie Fires in there, a bunch of whiskey. It was just, it was hellacious. But
yes.
he made it all the way through. There are videos surfacing online. If you get the chance, I highly recommend you check that out. And, man, we're going to Brandon. That is the quote that came out of the tour from Jason Kincaid. he met a guy who was buying drinks and wanted to hang out and just wanted to be, you know, be a part of the party. And apparently he had a place in Brandon where he wanted to go party. And Jason Kincaid, not knowing what Brandon was or is or where, he just yelled out to the whole bar, "We're going to Brandon." And as far as I understand, a few of the boys did make it to Brandon, and it wasn't quite as spectacular as one would think it would be.
As usually it is built. Usually, you know, Brandon, it's a lot of talk about that town, but not a lot of action in there. Let's move on to the headliner, the knockout artist, Chris Hero. How is it bringing a guy like this out on tour, and what did he bring to the locker room? Just tell me in a few minutes about Chris Hero.
Chris Hero. He was, most guys that come in are always very nice, you know, respectful. Yes. I mean, they're happy that they're getting, you know, 6 shows in 6 days. That's always nice, too, especially on the independent scene. I can't say anything bad about the guy. Got to work with him a few times, which was, you know, fantastic. He was, he hits very hard. Like, my chest is still swollen, I'm pretty sure. but he's a guy that you want in that locker room. He's been there, he's done that kind of thing, and he's still doing it. And very wise, was able to offer up some insight to guys. And I know every night I'd see probably the majority of the crew talking to Hero and just asking for his feedback, because he would watch all the matches.
Yeah.
And I was asking his feedback and you know, what can be worked on, what can be improved on, and he was an open book. He had no problem offering up that advice and what he saw would, you know, work for each guy. And again, I just can't say enough good about the guy. It was nice to have him.
Yeah, he seemed like a guy that definitely did not want to burn his bridges and just kind of leave every option open.
Especially
and
on the Sur swinging bridge, you don't want to burn that one.
No, especially not with that many wrestlers on it, right? But you know, it was great. I was just a ring announcer on 2 of the shows. And still, to have him come and shake my hand and say, "Thanks for helping us out tonight, and will I see you up the road?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but thanks for saying that to me anyway, right?"
He's hoping, because that means he gets a return booking.
I guess so. He's fishing for a booking, right? You never know if the guy in the suit's the one that's doing the booking or not.
Amen. Get it over.
But it just awesome. I enjoyed watching his matches. Obviously, in the Elite 8 tournament was great, which we're going to get to talking about right away. And, I mean, I'm going to try not to brag too much about me actually picking the winner and saying it was because he was our first interview on this show, that he was going to go to bigger greatness in life.
So I pray to God this radio show takes me to bigger greatness
in life. Well, you were issued, like episode number two, so I would be, if I were you, I would be trying to get my name into the qualifying matches for next year.
April. That's a good call. You know what they say about the number two, though.
Oh, I know what they say about it, yes. It's hard to get rid of sometimes.
Yeah, just doesn't want to flush sometimes.
Yeah. Yikes. But actually, that brings me to one more question before we get into the tournament itself. Where was AJ Sanchez in the Elite qualifying matches? Was it just luck of the draw, or is this something that, with the tour being so busy, you know, I've got so much other stuff to do. I can't mentally get ready for this. Could be four big matches in four nights. I mean, you're no stranger to big matches, but why no tournament for you?
No tournament for me. Basically, myself and Heavy Metal have an agenda.
Yes.
And at this time, that agenda didn't involve the Elite Eight tournament.
That's right.
It involved another individual, and that's the way we kept it. He wasn't in the tournament either, so I think we handled our business pretty well.
Week, so. And you know what? You guys, I mean, hey, Heavy Metal, CWE Heavyweight Champion right now, that is the name on the door, right? It doesn't really get any bigger in CWE. This Elite Eight tournament is nice. It's splashy. It's new. But the measuring stick in CWE right now is Heavy Metal.
That's right. And, you know, since he became champion, I just want to say houses have gone up a little bit. The attendance numbers this past tour were up a little bit. So Robbie Royce, Danny Duggan, Mentolo, just pointing that out. They're former champions. And the tour did really well. I'm just pointing that out. I'd like those guys to know that.
So he's, for anyone out there that didn't get that, if CWE was a Monopoly game, he's saying when Danny Duggan was champion or Robbie Royce was champion, there was houses on the property. And now with Heavy Metal, it's hotels.
It's hotels. So, that's right.
Yes, that's what he's getting at. You know what? Let's go to your cohort Heavy Metal, actually, right now. And he wrestled quite a gamut of individuals on this tour. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Well, I see you've got the name Sidney Manson written down right there.
Yes.
And I'd love to start off with Sidney Manson.
Okay.
Well, you know, Heavy Metal got through that match. He wrestled Sidney Manson and Morden. Morden, very lively crowd, very, very large crowd, which was very nice. And, I mean, Sidney Manson is, what can you say about Sidney Manson? Have you met Sidney Manson?
I haven't, but Danny kind of scared me enough a few weeks ago telling us about Sidney Manson.
You need to meet Sidney Manson. He likes to walk around with some homebrew, offering it up to all the boys, and... he's a guy that probably nobody likes, but works very, very hard. And, I mean, you can't – he hasn't gone away yet.
Yeah.
So you've got to respect a guy that wants to stick it out and work and do what he can. And in all honesty, with all the jokes we make about Sidney Manson, his match with Heavy Metal wasn't all that bad. It exceeded everybody's expectations tenfold.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that's just, he's just sticking around. He wants to help out. And as far as what he did in Morden, I mean, you got to hand it to the guy. He did very well. And, I've got no bad thing to say about him as far as, this past week.
Yeah. And Heavy Metal also had chances, tag matches against Danny Duggan and Chris Hero with yourself.
That's right.
Singles matches against Chris Hero. There's a lot of variety for him.
All the way from Sidney Manson to Chris Hero.
Yes.
He's still champion coming out of this tour, so.
Yeah. Another thing we saw, we pretty much saw everything imaginable in this tour. We saw titles change hands. We saw a tournament champion. We saw a retirement. We saw a funeral. We saw somebody get fired. So is there anything you want to talk about with some of these, some of these other segments that seem to just happen in Winnipeg, all the craziness seemed to, conjure up in Winnipeg at Holy Cross Gym on Friday night.
I had not thought about it that way, but yeah, you point out that there was, there's a lot going on, isn't
there? Yes, there is a ton going on right now in CWE.
Tune into CWTV and see how it all plays out. Wow, yeah. Well, where do we want to tackle first? Let's tackle Scotty Raver getting fired.
Yes.
That, man, Raver, I like that guy.
Yeah.
But... yeah, unfortunately, it seems that the powers that be decided the four worst wrestlers, with the worst win loss record, would do battle, and whoever got pinned got fired. Did you see the ending to that match?
You know what, I did, and
Raver was in complete control, and yes. hit a nice stunner, and unfortunately, it dazed JJ for a good couple seconds, and he was out and just fell on Raver, and the 1-2-3 happened.
Yes, it almost reminded me of an overtime goal that happens in the NHL playoffs. There's a bad bounce off the glass, and a chance comes out of nowhere, and hey, you're gone.
That's about it. He's gone.
And he is gone. Now, he got a chance to wow the crowd with one more rave in the ring before it all ended, which, I mean, I think I could have done without. I think maybe a lot of people could have done without. But you know what? God bless him for going out there and giving 100%.
He's one of those, you know, journeymen, those guys that was at every show, worked extremely hard, you know, behind the scenes, and did whatever was asked of him. When a lot of guys feel that they're above that.
Yes.
And, I mean, you got to hand it to a guy who, I mean, you're not going to see him tearing it up with Chris Hero for 35 minutes or anything like that, but he's a guy that can go in there, he can entertain, and it's unfortunate that, you know, he's no longer going to be a part of the crew, so we wish him the best and, you know, hope that we see him around still, you know, for the odd appearance. Nobody ever really retires.
Yes, you know? Yes. Unless you die, and then when you die, you have a funeral. And that's what happened on Friday night for the pissed off pit bull, Robbie Royce.
Fantastic segue.
Yes. So, I mean, that's why I get paid the big dollars is for this kind of stuff, right? Like Peter Jackson sometimes is calling me up asking me, how can I turn two movies into three? So I give him a segue, right? Anyway, that gets us into the funeral, which you were part of. You and Heavy Metal led a whole bunch of your cohorts around the ring. And you guys kind of had a nice little send off for Robbie, didn't you?
We had a nice little send-off. We definitely did. And I'd just like to point out that myself, Heavy Metal, were the only two guys, the first two, I guess, that can say that they actually put Robbie Royce on. No, nobody has been able to. He's retired 46 times, but nobody has been able to do it. You know, yes. not who are we looking at? Not ATM, you know, not his family, not himself. He couldn't even put himself into retirement, but Heavy Metal and AJ Sanchez, we got the job done.
You care enough about the business to make sure the right things get done.
It's time for these old guys to move out a little bit. You know, we're still young.
Yes.
It's about time Robbie Royce, you know, just set out to pasture. Mm-hmm.
And it appears that the same can be said for Darren the Bomb Dalton, who came out and told the crowd about his back injury. And did you know it was that bad? Danny had sort of talked about it on one of the shows, and I heard when he got rescheduled, but what did you think of that news?
Well, I mean, Dalton's a very talented guy, so you never want to see a talented guy leave the crew.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But, hey, I mean, if you're in, you know, family comes first and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, he had to do what he had to do. And, I mean, hey, he retired. But what happened later in the night?
Yes. There was an accident in the tag team. Titles were on the line. And Darren Dalton somehow found himself in the ring where he got mixed up. And it seemed like an accident at the time when Nate Hardy got put through a table. But, you know, it seems that maybe that it wasn't an accident after all.
I don't think it was an accident. No, Darren Dalton got in the ring, knew what he was doing, caught Nate Hardy right in the air. Nate had to be a good 10 feet in the air. Caught Nate and just slammed him through a table. And, I mean, hey. I don't want to give too much away, but it did not look good for the Saints of Los Angeles as far as that match went. The title switched hands, and let's just say the tables, thumbtacks, you name it was involved. And oof.
Yes, it's a must-watch match, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen a lot of local wrestling, but not a lot of matches have the crowd sort of stunned for 5 to 10 seconds, and then they explode with not being able to believe what they've just seen in the ring. So that's, we're going to leave it there. We won't spoil too much for you, but definitely a match worth seeing, the Saints of Los Angeles versus the Sons of Anarchy.
Most definitely.
No disqualification match for the tag team titles.
Yep.
That brings us to, I guess, the tournament. We're about 20 minutes into the show here, so we might as well get on to this thing.
Before we do the tournament, how about, I know we didn't start off the episode, but let's push some of the upcoming shows Canadian Wrestling's Elite has.
Sure.
I believe June 20th, we are making our return to Rookie Sports Bar. In the heart of Transcona, so if you're looking for a little adult fun, June 20th, that is Rookie Sports Bar. And then June 27th, we return to the Holy Cross Gym with WWE Hall of Famer Lita.
Yes, and every time that was announced on Friday night, the crowd went ballistic for that. So that's going to be exciting to see.
That is going to be one hell of an event.
Yes, July 1st, Selkirk, Manitoba, returning there to the Canada Day Street Festival. Now, have you guys been part of the street festival before or any outdoor events like this?
Yeah, we were, I want to say we were a part of it last year. And then we also do an event out there on the riverfront as well. So, yeah, Selkirk, just hoping to get Selkirk up and running. You know, things are, you know, the town is close. It's nice to be in Selkirk.
Yep.
It was a hot wrestling town at one point. So yep. We want to, you know, we want to get that up and running again.
Yes, July 17th to 20th in Morris at the Manitoba Stampede and Exhibition, featuring the Mighty Midgets. Now, is that going to be indoor shows, outdoor shows? How will those play out?
Do you know? I'm not 100% sure. I believe it's an outdoor show under some sort of tent.
Okay.
But I think we're still working out the details kind of thing. But, I mean, hey, those set of shows lead into the next Canadian Wrestling's Elite Tour. Which goes through Verdun. So, you know, we're going to try Verdun now this time around. Goes through Verdun, Souris, Morden, Winnipeg, Selkirk, Bozeger. And, you know, that's about, it's 10 shows in 11 days or something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, the schedule, man, it is on fire, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And you know, another thing I notice is there's, you guys have almost like a cult following that seems to come into Winnipeg from Yorkton, Saskatchewan. Any chance of CWE ever getting out to Yorkton to kind of do some shows there?
You know, we have run shows throughout Saskatchewan before.
Yeah.
Yorkton, Regina, I think we ran Melville and stuff like that. Right now, I believe HIW, High Impact Wrestling, kind of does their thing out in that area.
Okay.
And we have a very good relationship with those guys, and they're putting on wonderful events as well.
Yes.
And, you know, we see some of their talent come over here. We've seen Rex Roberts, King Cash come over and work here. And, you know, Tyler Colton, Mentolo, myself, we've gone over and worked over there, Danny Duggan. So, you know, I think it's a, you know, we're kind of, I don't know, we're coexisting, you know, guys, we're on good terms and there's no point in,
yes,
you know, and we're busy doing our thing in Manitoba and, trying to get, you know, our stuff up and running. But,
well, that makes sense.
As far as those fans go, though, oh man, did you see the Flash in the front row in Winnipeg?
You know what? I can't help but not see the Flash in the front row in Winnipeg.
That's full red suit. I'd like to point out that it was my idea. I saw that gentleman in Regina about 2 weeks prior, and I don't know exactly how the conversation came about. He was going to wear it in Regina. He didn't. So I told him he has to now wear it in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the Flash was in Winnipeg.
Yes, and I actually talked to him in at the intermission, and he admitted it was your idea.
Yep.
So AJ's not just trying to you know, pat his own stats here, ladies and gentlemen. He legitimately was thinking about the Winnipeg wrestling audience and how to better their experience.
And the Flash was that. It wasn't the wrestling in the ring. No, it was the Flash. The Flash sitting in the front row.
Oh, boy. Well, and, you know, we might need two Flashes now with Scotty Raver gone from CWE.
That's
you
right. Never know. That's right. Maybe we'll get the Flash up there rave dancing or something.
Never know. Actually, he might do it. He's a pretty happy-go-lucky guy.
When he sure is. Costume, he's a good guy.
All right. What else we have? Like, we've got that massive tour. You're talking about the 10 days. But some other awesome news has come up too recently. You guys will be returning to the Central Canadian Comic Con at the end of October.
That's a big deal. Yeah, they were extremely happy with how we ran things.
Yes,
and I mean they were nice to us. They gave us all the lighting and the big setup. You know, we felt like a big deal. And yeah, they were just happy with how things ran, as far as I understand. And,
yes,
as opposed to previous years. And
well, it was just smooth wrestling, and it was a lot of wrestling, and people knew what to expect. And yep. I'm not knocking anyone else that came there before.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. That's fine.
All I'm saying is that it's like if you're not hearing about problems, you're hearing about it because it's successful.
That's right.
So it kind of goes one way or the other. So so it's good to see you guys get that, because I don't know, outside of a Jets game or a Bombers game or a concert, if there's any other bigger gathering of people in a weekend in Winnipeg.
No, definitely. No, I wouldn't. Yeah, you're right. That's
maybe that's a Bobby J. Pool party or something that, like that. Right?
I've heard of all those Bobby J. Pool parties. And I'm hoping the snow clears up sometime soon so that we can start attending some Bobby J. Pool party.
Yes.
But can we talk about Lita for a couple seconds?
For sure, for sure.
God, man, Lita, how about that?
Did you...
You've got a boner just thinking about it, don't you?
You know what? I was more a Victoria fan.
Victoria's good, too.
Yes, and she was a great wrestler. But Lita was a great wrestler as well, and I really enjoyed her speech at the Hall of Fame.
I still haven't seen it, man. I'm going to see it eventually.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wasn't expecting, and this was through my, interestingly enough, U.S. version of the WWE Network.
Right, right.
the whole speech and the, like, was on. And so she talked for a half hour and went through the whole history going down to Mexico and how she had to convince people she was serious and she wanted to become a wrestler. And,
right.
And it's just like knowing that that is coming up to Holy Cross Gymnasium and CWE, that's a special time for Winnipeg for sure. Like it's, yeah, we've had Chris Masters. We've had Chris Hero. We've had, you know, just everybody that's come. But, you know, now we've got Lita. And I think this is just something a little different. And the crowd really needs to come out and take a look at this.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't know that we've ever, I guess we've had Angelina Love as far as females go on the show.
Yeah.
But Lita, no, that's it's a big name, man. There's going to be an autograph signing, as far as I understand, as well, prior to the show. So
yes.
People are going to have the chance to, you know, get up close and personal with Lita.
Yeah.
That I'm going to try and segue up close and personal here into, myself and Danny have a bet going.
Yes.
And maybe you'd want to jump in on this, but
maybe I will.
Lita will probably be at the ECWE after party, I imagine.
Okay.
And, we have a large crew again of men from all over North America.
Yes.
Which one, if you had to guess, and I'll give you a couple seconds here, which guy do you think is really, really going to try and, are we trying to be PG here? Or are we trying to?
No, I say we let, you know, if Tony, we had Tony Candela on as a guest.
Right. I did say Boner earlier,
yes.
Too. So
it's already explicit. Go on.
Flat out, which guy on the crew do you think is going to try and sleep with Lita the hardest? Like, he's really going to put forth that effort. Because you know it's going to happen. There's 30 guys. It's bound to happen. Who do you think is going to really, really give it that try?
She's over 20, eh?
I don't think it matters for some of the guys on the crew.
Well,
so.
I was just going to say, like, that takes Brian Rich out of the equation.
No, he'll still try. He'll still
try. Oh, he will. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of what Danny has all kind of laid down as part of how the guys are.
I guess you don't fully know.
It might be a plan for Kevin Cannon to get his other guys to seem like idiots, so he'll seem all cool and suave.
Kevin Cannon's a smart man, yeah. Oof. He wears that dress shirt really well. That might be something that appeals to Lita.
Yes.
Yeah.
The champ could always use that title to sway Lita in his favor.
That's a very good point, yeah.
The Super Friends might be too busy. Like, they'd probably be off bowling. I don't know if they go to the after parties.
Or drooling.
Or drooling.
Yeah, just sitting there drooling is how I envision it. Danny Duggan could perhaps hike up his thong, just like Lita used to do.
Yeah.
And bam, they've got some... You know, talking with some material to talk about. That
he could do that.
Some small talk there. If I had to make my prediction on maybe not so much who would try, but who would get the job done, Dick Blood.
Really?
Lita would love some Dick Blood.
I would have never thought Dick Blood.
Yeah. Dick
never.
Blood. He's quite the ladies man, in case you weren't aware.
Oh, man. I apparently am not aware.
Well,
so.
I'm telling you, Dick Blood. She's going to get some Dick Blood then. I'm calling it.
Yikes.
It's official. I've called it here.
How much is the bet here? Because this might be like, we got everyone to go and post their picks on the Elite Eight tournament. Maybe we should be doing this online as well.
Danny's tight with his money, so I don't think we actually gave a you know, numerical figure here. But we'll determine it, and we'll send out the mass email. But I think Dick Blood's going to be the guy. Or, you know, Lita's either going to want some Dick Blood or some ATM. And it's going to be one of the two, I think. But
okay.
I'm really opening up my options.
That's quite a race.
Dick Blood or some ATM. Lita, like one of those. That's what, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Do you like Dick Blood or ATM?
No.
No?
No.
Right, okay.
No, not for me. I would definitely be thinking the Rebel Bobby Collins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, Southern Ties, right?
That's a good point, yeah.
No, I don't know. but you know what would be awesome? Getting Lita to possibly appear on this show.
That would be fantastic. Something we're going to have to try and do then.
Would be amazing. Yes, yeah, somebody would.
Maybe Danny will let you out of the kennel.
Maybe.
And Kitten Remington, you'll have to make your way to the show and then just steal it. Maybe you'll be the one that gets the job done.
No.
No?
You know what? Lita, sorry. I've said that I'm a big fan of Victoria.
Yes.
I couldn't take the pay cut to hang around with Lita.
I understand.
So,
I understand. That's cool.
Yeah.
wish me luck, because I'm going to try as well.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I will veto all my power that I would have, my sway with my hair with Lita. to you.
Great. AJ. Thanks. I appreciate
that. Get
that. And I'll get you the videotape if it ever comes.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Sure. We could do a simulcast or something with the show.
Yeah, there you go. Think of the money.
You know, if we could mic a bunch of the guys at the after party and put that on as the show, maybe their pitches, right? Wouldn't that be?
I think that would be a great idea. You'd hear pitches to lead and then guys burying each other.
That might be CWE's first pay-per-view, actually, right? Yikes.
Awesome.
Wow. So, yes, Lita coming. We're totally all excited about that. And it's going to be here before we know it. It seems like it's a long way off, but it really isn't.
Oh, man. It's about a month away, a little over a month. It's going to be huge.
What else seemed like a long way off when it first got announced was the Elite Eight tournament.
And finally getting to
yes.
It.
And we saw this happen throughout the course of the six-day tour. And what was your take on the tour at the end of the day? Was it what you thought it was going to be, or was it more?
The tournament? Are you talking about?
Yes.
I think it turned out really well. It produced some excellent matches.
Yes.
It'll play out on CWE TV, I think, quite well. But as far as, you know, a tournament, you see there's the Super 8, and then there's I think terms like the King of the Ring and stuff like that. And those are things that you, for the most part, saw in one night.
Yep.
You know what I mean? One guy, the winner's going to have to overcome three or four matches in one night. Like, that was, you know, the story to that. So on TV it'll play out, but I think with it playing out over four nights, the first four nights of the tour, maybe there wasn't that kick, you know what I mean? Like Mentolo winning is a huge deal, don't get me wrong. And, Mentolo was having some of the best matches of his life in this tournament. But, I don't know, just perception would tell me that, maybe if it was done all in one night, it would have been, I'm not even saying a bigger deal, because I don't think that's the case at all. Like, it was a big deal, period. But I don't know, just, you know, 4 days opposed to the one, there's something there, and I'm not quite sure what it is. But regardless, I mean, a guy like Tyler Colton he was killing it. You know what I mean? He had a wicked match against Chris here. I was really, really happy. I really enjoyed that match. And thought it was nice for Tyler Colton himself to be able to go in there and hang with a guy like Hero.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to we'll look at the semifinals here and the finals, which all took place in Winnipeg at Holy Cross Gymnasium. And we started off the show with the two semifinal matches, which featured Chris Hero versus Tyler Colton and Mentolo versus Mr. Incredible. Now, the possibilities there of who would be in the finals are endless. But just knowing, you know, your former MX tag team could have been meeting in the finals. And, I mean, we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that the chances that, you know, they seem to have left on okay terms, but what would happen when there was something big on the line? Would we see what the real reason was? Would that boil to the surface? So the possibilities were endless. And you could feel it with the audience that there was a vested interest in every match that came out, for the semifinals anyway. And then, you know, they almost needed the rest of the card, which was loaded on more exciting moments. And it was just a ton of content on Friday night, so that when you got to the final, you're like, holy crap, these guys have already been through killer matches already tonight. Like, this is crazy. And they laid it all out again.
Yeah. No, and that, going back to Mentolo and Tyler Colton, I the way Tyler Colton's been acting lately, I don't doubt that Tyler would have done, you know, whatever he needed to get past his trainer and become the first ever Elite Eight tournament winner.
Yeah.
And, there's no better guy. As far as the winner, Mentolo, I mean, everybody, no, we don't need to repeat Mentolo's accolades in his career.
Well, for sure
knows.
Not.
Everybody knows.
You can listen to episode one.
Yeah, there you go. Go right back to episode one. But, you know, Mentolo won to the tournament. You picked him. I mean, that's, you know, hey.
Well, I picked him just because of the episode one. If there was a guy that I was looking at to kind of bust through, it was Mr. Incredible. And he sort of did that in the first round he cut a promo for his first round match that was longer than the match itself when he went against Brian Rich.
He dismantled Brian Rich.
Yes. Yeah, he really did.
Yep.
Now, Mr. Incredible, obviously, we don't want to give too much away. He's got some dealings going on with you and heavy metal right now as well.
He's a smart man, and that's how it... That's basically it. He's a smart man, and I'm excited. I mean, look what's happened already. We've seen some funerals, and
yes,
so I think it's a sign of things to come. I think those three guys, Metal, myself, and Incredible, it's an odd but interesting pairing. And I think from here on out that it's going to be entertaining. I think I like the direction.
Yes.
And we'll see. I mean, you got to tune in. You got to pay attention. See where it goes. Pretty much.
For sure. A lot of people were wondering what Mr. Incredible was going to be up to without his side guy Blake Broadway.
Yeah.
Leaving the Canadian Wrestling Elite. Well, all those questions get answered in short order. Coming up on CWE TV, which we should take a few minutes and talk about that right now. It's back on the air. And tell everybody how things are proceeding with future episodes. Is it back to business as usual?
Pretty much back to business as usual. Yeah, there was a little bit of a hiccup, and that hiccup has now been fixed. And things are up and running. I believe the latest episode is up right now. And just pretty much you got to tune in and see what's happening, see what's going down.
Yes. Now, how hard is it for you guys to coordinate your live events and your TV? Is there a lot of scripting involved with, like, you guys need to make sure this is shot at the right time? You know, you guys gather a ton of video footage over the weekend. How does that get sorted out, and how does that get broken down into episodes?
It just gets shot and then gets sorted out. There's no order in which things get shot. We the show goes out, we do what we got to do, we shoot it,
yeah,
and then I feel sorry for the guy editing and the guy doing the post editing, but yeah, he's got to dig through everything.
Yes.
That's a lot of footage.
Yes, and a lot of promos, and it's like, it's not just matches, right? And then you need your match, everything's got to be in a certain time frame, and you got to, you know, make sure you're putting your best foot forward too as well, right? Like, the quality's got to be there.
That's true. It takes work.
Yeah, and it could be a 5-star match, but if it doesn't look good, and if it's not cut right, people aren't going to appreciate it nearly for what it is.
No, and we luck out, like, the people that do the roaming cam on the road and in yep. Winnipeg and stuff like that, the work the cameras, they're really good at what they do.
Yes.
And that's Amanda, that's Stephanie, you know, those people that do that work. Like, those are the people that don't get the credit that they deserve
for
the work that they do. And they're probably more important and more of an asset to the company than most of the guys on the crew, if I had to say anything. Speaking as a guy, you know, that works on the production side of things.
Yep.
And you know, their work does never goes unnoticed by me, especially. So I thank them, of course, and they do a very good job.
You know what? You actually brought up something really important, because in Selkirk, I got to talk to the guys that were doing the hard cam and the music, and they're trainees for CWE right now.
Yep.
And they were actually, you know, talking about how even in Selkirk or wherever they go, it was just another opportunity to kind of soak up some knowledge, see how things are done, see how people do, you know, if it's a lighter crowd or if it's a heavier crowd, you know, tag matches, single matches, watching guys wrestle night after night after night, what their approach is like.
Yep.
I mean, it's just like that stuff. A lot of people would, when you're putting your ego first, you take that all for granted. And you're just worrying about your ring jacket or whatever.
Yeah.
And these guys are like, you know, they're watching. And
yeah.
I think that's a pretty good place to be.
Just constantly learning. And that not only goes for trainees, that goes for everybody, as far as, you know, the second you step through the doorway at a show, there's stuff to learn. So
yes,
those trainees they're working hard.
Yeah,
and hey man, they're looking promising so far. So we'll see how things go with them. And
that all takes time, right? And that's another thing they both acknowledge. Like, they're saying, like, well, I've only got 3 months, or I've only got 6 months of training, and it's like, and they made it seem like it was nothing, and it sort of is nothing, because the majority of people take way less training than that in this town, and they think that they're ready to go to the big levels. Right?
It's a problem everywhere, first of all, but uh-huh. is guys just being thrown into the ring after a week's worth of training or a couple weeks, you know what I mean? Like, that's not the way we like to do things, and there's a reason why the Elite Wrestling Academy has only produced one person that fully completed the training, and that's Tyler Colton, and that's, I mean, look at the guy. He's in shape. He looks good.
Yep.
He's working with every big name that comes to the town now and putting on good performances. And
that's
there's
right.
a reason why he's doing that. And then there's a reason why other people end up retired and spray painting cars and slashing tires, because they're and have their fathers threatening to rape another guy's father and beat up his mother. And there's a reason why those people aren't around much anymore, because they can't. They're not worth the time. They failed everywhere else in life, and they're going to continue to fail in life, and that's how it goes.
Yes.
And they couldn't hack it in wrestling, and they end up wrestling elsewhere is what happens, because those places will put guys like that in the ring.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know, it is what it is. You can't, you know, it's, you, the product you put forth, you're going to draw, I think you're going to draw accordingly. You know what I mean? If you're putting a lesser product on, then, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Yes. Now, I got to say, I'm going to tell everybody, I got thrown into the fire in this tour, where I got brought out to the venue and I was going to do some kind of in the locker room interview, sort of like I did with our fifth anniversary special. It's 30 minutes before bell time, and I find out you guys don't have a ring announcer. I brought my suit just in case I was needed for TV. You never know, right?
Smart. Yeah, very good.
You have to, right? Yeah. But sure enough, get asked, okay, we need a ring announcer for tonight. So it was a half hour. Like, seriously, I had the 24 clock ticking the whole time.
Yep.
And I was walking up to every wrestler like Jack Bauer, look, I don't have time to explain. You just have to believe me. I need your weight in your hometown.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And, you know, you have to do what you have to do and get ready to go. And it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. It was fun to do. It really brought me back to the live theater days when I did improv. And
right.
I didn't know what was happening. And it was just kind of like you got 4 to 10 minute bits.
Yeah.
You have to go do your thing. You wait. And then go back and do it again. And it was an exciting time. It was an exciting night. But I would never do it again. No.
No. Yeah, no. No.
No, those, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, but those Winnipeg shows, I can't tell you how stressful those days are.
Oh, no kidding.
The other towns, I mean, the crew's a little smaller. The production's not as big. At Winnipeg show, oh, man, those things are...
There was a lot of spots that had to get hit in a certain amount of time before you lose a crowd, right? And and for everyone to be organized, I mean, hats off to everyone at NCWE.
I will say, yeah, it flowed really well as far as this past Winnipeg show. There have been times where it doesn't, but it...
That's right.
It definitely...
I mean, I think it went 15 minutes longer than people were hoping, but there was a 15 to 20 minute delay with the ring as well at the intermission. So
issues with the ring and a lot of segments. I mean, you know what? It is what it is, but I think, no, like you said, we got through it, and the crowd was there for everything, and they were there right till the end of the show as well.
Yes, they were. And you know what? I'm glad that people took their time to get that ring fixed up and make it, I mean, basically safer to
perform in. Speaking of, I got to throw a big shout out to Anthony Wayne, who came up to work from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, like as soon as something, there was a problem, and then the first man, a guy that does not, first time on our crew, and he give me a flashlight, I'm going under. And he just grabbed it, and he went to town, and he made sure everything was good to go for everybody. And I can't say enough good about Anthony Wayne, who came up to us.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great to hear that. Chris Hero as well, coming in out of town, obviously the headliner on the show. And he was just down there in the locker room with the boys. There was no special room. There was no curtains or tarps or anything like that.
Yep.
Nothing like that. He was just one of the guys, and he seemed pretty freaking happy to be one of the guys and in that crew.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He was amazing. He was one of the guys. When we lined up 14 shots for Jason Kincaid, he was one of them that lined one up. Didn't know, he's not a drinker, so he didn't know what exactly to get. But then he asked questions. You know, he can teach us something in the ring, and myself and Chevy can teach him a little something about drinking and shots.
Yes.
So we were able to help him along, got him along in that sense.
It's nice that there's that professional give and take.
Exactly,
You know, you don't want it to be a one-way street at all, right?
No.
That's awesome. That's awesome you guys could leave the friendly Manitoba mark on Chris Hero.
We sure did.
And Jason Kincaid.
Sure did. That's right. Sure did. He was, I'm telling you, he's doing handstands in the bar. It's called hashtag Kincaiding, as far as I'm aware. And,
wow.
Handstands in the bar, on the bar tables, on the floor. Yeah, Jason Kincaid's pretty solid.
Now, hold on. Yeah, hashtags Kincaiding. You've also got hashtags Sigmaning.
Hashtag Sigmaning.
What is that? Can you explain that to the crowd?
Yeah, I don't even really fully know, to be honest. I just see him post a photo of him with a Monster Energy drink, and I thought I'd try the same thing.
Yes.
I did it incorrectly, apparently. But if anything came out of that, the energy drink I bought was very good, and I've bought it several times since, so... Thanks, Sigmund. I'm now addicted to energy drinks. I appreciate that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And do you think Sigmund's a guy that'll be coming back to Winnipeg anytime?
I am 100% sure of it.
Yeah.
He himself, Jason Kincaid, Ricky Starks, I believe, and we're in talks with another independent worker down in the States. I don't recall what his name is, but in talks with another guy. So if more and more people want to be coming up here and working with us. And,
nice, for sure, yeah. For sure. And you know what? That's a nice thing. That works two ways as well, right? You got your local guys that maybe don't care. They want the hot shot. They want a hot night where, you know, they know the place is going to be full, so they want their friends to come out and all that for that. But are they there for the rougher nights and the tougher events and stuff like that? You need people to be there for everything. Like, everyone wants to do the easy stuff,
yep,
the cool stuff, but it's like a mark of a true professional that the cool stuff and the uncool stuff is all just the next job. And,
yep.
You find things sort of sorting themselves out as far as who's willing to do just the next job? And,
when you got those out-of-town guys on the show, they're there to wrestle, and they're there to, it doesn't matter if there's 4 people or 400 people out there, they're there to work and put on a performance. And man, I can't tell you how easy those out-of-town shows went, right from setting up to tearing down to shooting promos, matches, whatever it was. Like, that's what they're there to do.
Yeah.
And they really, luckily, they're all guys that are very, very capable and do well at what they do.
Yes.
You know? So it makes it very nice to work with those guys, every guy being a professional.
Yep. And watching that, none of them are too high above getting out there and helping clean things up.
My big thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. After that show, you just want to get out of there.
And, yes.
We got out pretty quick. I was really happy about that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Everyone does a little bit, and it just goes out much quicker, right?
Like, that's right.
Folding chairs or taking down the ring or loading the ring or taking down audio equipment. Like, there's another thing. Like, you think wrestling, you don't realize the amount of audio equipment and the speakers and the cables and levels and mics and is there batteries in the mic. There's a lot. There's 100 little details just right there.
That's right.
Before anyone's even stepped into a ring.
And nobody thinks of those details.
No.
Once that ring is down, we're done. No, there's sound. There's lighting. There's this.
Yes, and it all matters. Like, yeah. Where's the walkout position? Where are people coming out to the ring? How does this work with the crowd? And it's just, there's a lot of logistics to think of. I'm sure a professional like yourself, you've got an itemized checklist. Every show is.
Yeah, we can call it that, professional checklist. Sure, yeah, let's go with that.
He might even have an app coming out for
that's right, yeah.
For people that own their own wrestling company.
Yeah.
How to know everything's set up.
Probably. Yeah, just stay tuned to cwcanada.ca. You'll find it.
So I guess we're looking at wrapping the show up here. We're about 45 minutes in here. So CWE TV is right back to normal. The website's going. The social media's all going. The midgets are coming. Lita's coming.
Short sleeve Samson was just on the WWE pay-per-view not long ago.
So. The Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules, yeah.
He was doing commentary or something like that.
I believe so. Dressed as the King.
Yes.
Jerry Lawler, yeah. Wow. It should be interesting. It's an endeavor that we've never, ever taken. You know what I mean? It's, we've never gone that route. So it's going to be something different.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out on TV. And I'm looking forward to it. I've met Samson plenty of times before. Great guy. Great guy, always there to help out. What can I say? You can't say enough good about the guy. Just the nicest all-around guy.
And, yeah.
You know, he's going to work hard. And
Which is actually interesting, thinking about it. You guys have Lita coming in. There's not a ton of women's wrestling in Winnipeg. And I don't, like, outside of Angelina Love, having she wrestled with you guys.
Yep.
It was probably the last time I'd seen a full-on women's match.
There's not a lot as far as Central Canada goes. There's not a lot of women's wrestling. Spread out toward, you know, a little more out west. I believe there's a little bit more out there.
Yeah.
But I can assure you that Lita will be involved in the show. It's not just an autograph signing. She will be involved in the show.
Nice.
So, you know, you're just going to have to come down and check it out. And I'm fairly certain, I'm positive that show is going to be sold out. So make sure you get those tickets fast because it's going to be a good one.
Yes.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
Don't be left out in the warm because it's...
it's still maybe snowing and cold by the end of June. So
yes,
at this
you never
rate,
know.
We just don't know. But,
you never know.
It'll be cold outside. It'll be hot inside the Holy Cross Gym.
It'll be smoking hot inside
smoking
the Holy
hot.
Cross Gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see everything that happens. With a short sleeve Samson, is there other midgets coming in as well? Or is it just...
I believe, midget sensation, Mike Hammer.
Mike Hammer.
Ernie Todd's favorite midget.
Really?
The world's tallest midget. I don't know if we're just saying this word is politically incorrect. I'm not sure how they feel about it. But if it says it on the poster, then that's what we're going to say.
It's got to be okay.
But, Ernie Todd's favorite midget, the world's tallest midget, Mike Hammer, will be involved as well on that tour. And Hammer does loon calls. It's just, if you get the chance to meet Mike Hammer, he does loon calls. So make sure you talk to my camera.
You know, that could be an invaluable trait. You never know. You never know where that could come
from. You could throw Samson off in the ring when he does a loon call. Samson may not know what's happening, and bam, he's got a victory.
And he gets Scotty Raybert. And the guy falls on him and wins.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, like, that's right. Slip on the banana peel.
You know what? We were going to close the show, but I would be remiss to not ask about the special attraction match in Souris between Danny Duggan and DJ RJ Lilly.
DJ RJ.
How did that go?
You know,
did Danny give him like the Andy Kaufman pile driver?
Danny beat the shit out of him, is what happened. Okay. Yeah, you know, but in a nice, respectful a manner as you can, and as far as, you know, beating the shit out of someone. But as I understand, he was running his mouth a little bit.
Yes.
And it came showtime, and much like AJ Sanchez of old, when I first started, he threw on his hockey jersey and went to the ring.
Yeah.
He was wearing a Hartford Whalers hockey jersey.
Oh, my goodness.
And ran his mouth a little bit, and you know, Danny put the beating on him. His chest was nicely marked up a little bit afterwards. Took some slams. Held his own. I think he might have even gotten something on Danny. Maybe not. But, you know, I think it was a good experience. And it was nice because, I mean, all the people that came out, and Souris did really well for us. All the people that came out, I think they were really happy with what they saw. I received a ton of comments, you know, via social media. And from what I understand, some of the guys after the show. Excuse me. And, They really enjoyed what happened and what went down that night. So hopefully our return to Souris is just as good.
Nice.
And,
now, obviously, you and Danny aren't seeing eye to eye in the ring right now.
Or outside of it.
Or outside of it. What is your mind frame in something like that? Do you want to, like, there's two ways you can go here. One, you can go in there and you could put the screws to Danny, mm-hmm. who is, you know, obviously a guy that you're going neck and neck with right now. Or you could leave Danny alone and watch him do what you know he's going to do and put the screws to this guy that's trying to kind of shame the business that you see you're so proud of, right?
We, heavy metal myself, we're smart men. So we know we're going to pick and choose our spots here and there. And, you know, maybe we don't want Danny to know what's coming next. You know, I mean, we don't want anybody to know what's coming next. You know, if we feel we want to reveal Mr. Incredible as a guy on one of the masks, we'll do that. If maybe there's more. Maybe there's a higher power. Maybe we just don't know. And, you know, all that stuff is going to unfold over time. But it's kind of when we want to, you know, we're the ones telling the story. You just sit along for the ride kind of do.
Yes. Makes perfect sense. Well, AJ, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for coming in. And,
May 31st, the Morden Block Party.
That's right.
It's an afternoon show. May 31st. We missed it.
Do you know the bell time for that? Like 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock?
I want to say it's a 2 or 3 o'clock bell time.
So be there for noon or you're going to
check out
CWCanada.ca.
Yeah, out in the snow. Yeah.
That's right.
We're not inside a building, I believe. We're outside. So May 31st, we just got that's our next event.
No, perfect. So
it's less than we've got. Man, we're on fire here.
Geez, that's a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
That's coming up really close.
That's right.
And you can find all that at www.cwecanada.ca. That's it.
Go now. Go check it out now.
Yes. Episode 18.
Hashtag Sigmund. Hashtag Kincaiding. Hashtag Boner.
Yeah. Hashtag Lita Pool as well.
Lita Pool.
That's going to be the big one.
I dig it.
All right. Take it easy. We'll see you next week on Elite Wrestling Radio.